College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in the show, we will be joined by LSU head coach Will Wade. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CHToday and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Now let's get into, obviously, the news that really took college basketball by storm over the weekend, and that was Louisville adding Brian Bowen. We have track the five-star wing really over the last couple of weeks as the best remaining player that was on the board. He goes to Rick Pitino and the Cardinals. What does this do for Louisville? To me, I moved Louisville up from 7 to 4 in my preseason top 25, and Louisville with Brian Bowen, in my opinion, usurped Duke as the team to beat next season in the ACC. Look at Louisville's perimeter right now. Quentin Snyder, Dang Adele, VJ King, and now you have two talented freshmen, Darius Perry and Brian Bowen, joining that returning triumvirate. The interesting thing about this, though, right now, you have to look at whether or not Brian Bowen will immediately play defense good enough for Rick Pitino's liking. Rick Pitino, obviously a defensive-minded coach. Now, a long time ago, Rick Pitino interviewed Will Wade for a vacant assistant spot at the University of Louisville. Since then, Will Wade has become the head coach of Chattanooga, the head coach of VCU, and now the head coach of LSU. What is the latest in Baton Rouge? Newly minted LSU head coach Will Wade joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein now. The SEC is on an upward trajectory in men's basketball. One major reason why, the recent hire at LSU of Will Wade and the former head man at VCU in Chattanooga joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Will, you're a native of Tennessee. What is it like to wake up in the morning and know that you're a head basketball coach in the SEC?
Well, it's exciting, exciting time during the transition here. Certainly growing up in the South, I grew up watching SEC basketball, being part of SEC basketball, and it's exciting to be back in the SEC as a head coach, and something that I've always wanted to do, somewhere that I've always wanted to be as a head coach in this league, and then to have the opportunity at a great place like LSU that has such a tremendous basketball tradition with 20 NCAA tournament appearances, 10 SEC titles, and 4 Final Fours, that makes it even better.
What was your perception of SEC basketball growing up? Because most people have an affinity for that conference, do so more on the gridiron.
Yeah, I mean, I just being in Nashville, you just saw SEC basketball games all the time on TV. You're inundated with it. When I was growing up, we went to Vanderbilt games as a family. My parents had season tickets there, so you got to see a bunch of SEC teams when you were growing up, and that's the conference you watched because that's regionally and geographically where you were. There were great players, there were great teams at that time. There were tremendous coaches when I was growing up. You had Hugh Durham at Georgia. You obviously had Dale Brown here. You had Wimp Sanderson at Alabama. You just had some very lively coaches who were very good basketball coaches, but also entertainers and characters and guys who really, really promoted the game of basketball in the South.
Now, you had 2 years as head coach of VCU where you led the Rams to 2 NCAA tournaments. That was a much more higher profile job than your first post at Chattanooga. What are the biggest things you learned during 2 years at VCU that you didn't know when you were just the head coach of Chattanooga?
Well, I think every time you step up and level, there's more that comes with it. There's more that comes with with the job. Some of the things we were able to get away with at Chattanooga and maybe trying things on the fly a little bit don't work so well. You get exposed quite a bit more when you raise it up a level or a couple levels into the Atlantic 10. And then certainly, you know, coming into the SEC, which will be one of the top three basketball conferences in the country this coming year, we're going to have our we're definitely going to have our work cut out for us. But VCU is a great place. They have great leadership within the administration, from Dr. Rao to Ed McLaughlin straight on down. They're in full alignment on men's basketball and in men's basketball. And as I took the LSU job, that's something I was looking for, you know, here. And Dr. Alexander and Joe Oliva and Eddie and everybody here is in full alignment to get LSU basketball consistent and to win at LSU basketball. And it takes a total commitment from everybody at the university to make that happen. And we certainly have that at LSU, and we had that at VCU, and I had that at Chattanooga with David Blackburn as my AD and Dr. Engel as the president. They did a tremendous job and wanted to get that basketball program back going again. So it's not just one person. It takes a whole team, takes a whole fan base, takes a whole group of people to make it happen.
Now, you mentioned obviously all the positives about LSU. LSU has had pockets of success in men's basketball, a Final Four under Dale Brown, a Final Four under John Brady, but it hasn't been consistent. Why do you think that is?
Well, we were pretty consistent under Coach Brown. I think he went to the NCAA tournament, about every year when he was here. And Coach Brady had some pockets of success. And it's really just about building a program on a solid foundation, on a sturdy foundation, making sure you don't, do something for the short term that mortgages the future and mortgages the long term. And you have to have a plan to where you're competitive every year, where it doesn't go in cycles, where you reload and, where you load up for 1 year and then you have two bad years and load it back up for that fourth year. You want to be consistent. You want to have rosters and teams that are built out over time to where you can just replace certain key guys, but you've got other key guys coming back. You want to get to a point where you're not losing, three and four key guys every year. You're losing one or two key guys. You've got other people in your system that you can just bring right up. So I think it's having a great roster balance, making sure our roster is where it needs to be, and then obviously having the requisite talent level that you need to compete in the SEC through recruiting.
LSU head coach Will Wade joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Well, you mentioned what you need in the SEC in terms of players, and that obviously translates to recruiting. We have seen something of a renaissance right now in the SEC in men's basketball in recruiting, and it feels like if you're not waking up every day and getting a player, somebody else is. What is it like to wake up and carry that type of a piano on your back, knowing that everybody around you is securing some of the best players in the country?
Well, it's certainly tough. We have 24 top 100 players coming into the league this coming year. So if you think about that, that's almost a quarter of the top 100 players in the country are coming into the SEC. So there's a lot of talent coming into the league, and when you have really, really talented players coming into a league that's got very, very good coaches and talented coaches who are going to get those guys better and put them in good systems and put them in good situations, and that's when you can really build programs. And for us at LSU, we've got to hit the ground recruiting. That starts in taking care of our home area down here in Louisiana. We're the only Power Five school in the state. We're the only SEC school in the state, so we have to do a great job of taking care of home base. We've got, on average 4 to 5 high major players a year in Louisiana. We need to get our fair share of those guys, and every 2 or 3 years we usually have an elite high major type kid, and we need to make sure that we do everything we can to get them as well. So I think it starts taking care of Louisiana, going over into Texas, which is big LSU area. Tremendous brand recognition in Houston and Dallas areas, going over to Texas and making our presence felt over there while taking care of our home base here in Louisiana. I think if we do that, I think we'll be in good shape recruiting-wise. But certainly if we're not recruiting hard we're not getting very good players, you know, nobody else around us is going to feel sorry for us, or they're not going to stop recruiting because they're just stockpiling guys and stockpiling talent at a lot of these schools in the league, and we've got to start doing the same.
No, there is no magic wand when it comes to, obviously, you know, success in the SEC. You need to have great players. You know, well, one thing I always admired when I attended your practices were, you know, you are very open about the fact that you started your career, you know, as a manager, as a student at Clemson. You wear a towel around your neck to remind yourself of where you came from during every practice. Considering those types of humble beginnings that you came from, what was it like to go to the SEC meetings last week in Florida and sit in a room with people who are now contemporaries, but the contemporaries are John Calipari, Frank Martin, Rick Barnes, Bruce Pearl, Ben Howland. What was that like considering where you started your career?
Well, you named four guys that have been in the Final Four. you just sit back and you take it all in. I was trying to be a listener and a sponge and get a feel for the league, get a feel for those guys. You certainly have some strong personalities in the room, but you've got brilliant people, guys who have been doing it a long time, have tremendous ideas, outside-the-box ideas. I think the SEC is really, as you put it, having a renaissance basketball-wise, and I think we're going to be at the forefront of a lot of major things that are going to come down the pipe in college basketball over the next 4 to 5 years. I think the SEC is well positioned to be one of the top three conferences here for a long time. And I think the SEC's position, because of our leadership and because of the leadership of our coaches, this is what I took out of the meeting, that, you know, it's a forward thinking and progressive league. And I think we're going to be on the forefront of a lot of issues and a lot of things that are going on in college basketball, which will allow our league to stay on the cutting edge and stay successful and sustain the success, and even build on the success that we've had this past year with the great players, as we talked about, who are coming in. You've got great coaches and you've got commitment from a lot of schools in this league to be good. And people say that to me at LSU all the time. Hey, you know, it's a this school, it's a that school. I say, no, they care about athletics at LSU. If you're wearing purple or gold and they're playing checkers and keeping score, the people at LSU care. That's just the way it is, and that's how it is across a lot of these SEC fan bases. And so everybody wants to win, and everybody wants to win in men's basketball now. And now it's time for us to strap up and find a way to make it happen here at LSU.
LSU head coach Will Wade joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. LSU last year finished last in the SEC, and right now Will Wade will try and turn that around next season. Now, a lot of people know that you work for Shaka Smart at VCU, but you also worked for Tommy Amaker at Harvard when you were starting your career. And, you know, one of the things that Coach Amaker is, you know, obviously adept at is identifying brands and making sure that brands are maximized. When you think about the LSU brand and what you're going to try and sell in all aspects of your program, how much will you go back to the lessons that you learned as a pupil at Harvard?
Yeah, you try to take stuff from everybody that you work for. Oliver Purnell with our program building and Larry Shiat with our defensive philosophy. Obviously, Coach Amaker with our identity and our branding and our standards and goals and that sort of thing. And then Coach Smart with the mental aspect and how you deal with players and how you really build them up and get the most out of them mentally. But, you know, I think the LSU brand is extremely strong, especially, I mean, in Louisiana, it's by far the strongest brand. And as you go to Texas and some other areas here in the South, it's a very, very strong brand. It resonates across the country because we've had a lot of professional players. We've got 12 current NBA players right now. In the last 10 years, our guys have made over $235 million in contracts. So kids are aware, recruits are aware of the success that our players here at LSU have had in the NBA and their earnings potential here from LSU. And so I think the brand is very strong regionally and locally, obviously. But I think as you go nationwide, people are aware because we've had some great players here under Coach Brown and Coach Brady with Shaq and Chris Jackson and you know, all those type guys that have played here. Those guys resonate with current players today because they're on TV and they're still around. And, you know, kids recognize with those figures. And that's that really has helped increase our brand nationwide.
What are your initial thoughts on the group you inherited from last season?
Well, I'd say this. We've got a lot to work on, but we've got a lot to work with. We've got some good pieces. We're nowhere near where we need to be, but we've got some good players. We've got some good pieces. We got to teach them. We got to coach them up. We got to get them better, and we got to get them better quickly. We're going to place a large portion of our workouts this summer. We've got to get better defensively. We've got to be a multiple effort team defensively. We've got to be a gritty, grimy defensive team, and we're nowhere near where we need to be. I mean, you know, we were in a lot of games last year and just couldn't get stops or gave up big runs. We gave up almost 90 points a game in league, which I would imagine would be at the bottom of any Power 5 team, if not the worst. And so that's the area that we're going to really focus in on trying to shore up. I don't think it's necessarily we've got bad defenders. I just don't think we put as much energy, as much time, as much effort into it as we should as a group. And, you know, we're going to go about fixing that over the course of the summer and over the course of the fall. But we for sure have to get better defensively. I think offensively we've got some good skill. We shoot the ball pretty well. We can shoot the ball from a lot of different positions. We're long. We're athletic. We need to change our bodies a little bit. We got to get quite a bit stronger. Got to get in a lot better shape so we can finish some games off. But we've got some good pieces, and we certainly need to continue to add to those pieces through recruiting. But we need to get the guys that we got now better, because I do think there's some talent here.
Well, you know, you mentioned that, you know, in recruiting, obviously we know now never really stops in college basketball. Last summer we saw several high-profile graduate transfers arrive on the market. If there was one or two things that you could add to your team prior to next season that you think would give you a better puncher's chance in the SEC, what would it be?
Well, I thought, you know, the first thing we wanted to do was shore up our front line, and we did that by adding Mayan Kerr and then a graduate transfer, Jeremy Combs. I'd like to shore up our backcourt a little bit if we could. I'd like to get us another point guard, get us a point guard in here and get in the paint and spray that ball out and make plays for others. And you know, if we could find another kind of bull type guard, we'd certainly do that too. Somebody who can get to the rim, drive, and create contact, because I think we've got great shooters. But we'll be continually addressing our roster, addressing our needs. It's our job to put the best team on the floor that gives LSU the best opportunity to win as quickly as possible without, you know, taking character risks or unnecessary risks that would, that could potentially hurt our chemistry or hurt some of the things that we've got going with our group now. But we owe it to our great fans. We owe it to our state. We owe it to our university to make sure that we're always evaluating our roster and putting the best people on the court that we can.
Final thing for me, Coach, and, you know, I know that you're not the most patient person, but if you had to give yourself a timetable for where you want this program, how long do you think it's going to take before LSU is going to be at a place where you wake up every day and you're going to feel comfortable with the state of the program?
The way I work, I'd like it to be like yesterday. Kind of the standard coach's answer is it'll take us 5 years, that sort of thing. But, I mean, I'd like to be competitive, you know, sooner rather than later. I'd like our program to be in a really, really solid place where we're just replenishing and moving on from there within 3 years. And I'd like to be moving forward within 3 years. You know, most people would tell you 4 or 5, but we want things done a lot faster. And so I'd say 3 years where we're fully up and running, all our processes are in place, everybody feels very, very comfortable about everything that's going on. But that doesn't mean, you know, I want it to be 3 years before we're competitive and winning and making things happen. But I think that's a realistic goal for us.
And when you say up and running, what does that mean to you in terms of annual production?
Well, I just think in terms of the infrastructure of our program, how we lift, how we eat, how we train, how we work, how we condition, everything, all that goes into it, where you've got guys who understand that, who have been a part of it, and you don't have to reteach everything every year. I think 3 years where we're just almost self, you know, we're just almost self going. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to coach it up. We don't have to demand it. It's just what we do here. This is what we do. This is how we work. This is how we go about our business. This is why we're successful. And I'd like that to be going within 3 years. But for now, me, my staff, you know, we'll be the ones that drive it home that this is how we're doing it. This is what good looks like. This is what winning looks like. And this is how we're going to do it. And this is what we're going to do.
Well, we appreciate a couple minutes, considering we know it's going to be a tough situation to get this thing off the ground, and 20 minutes to spare for a audio interview is a lot when you're rebuilding a program. So good luck in the late recruiting trail, and I'll talk to you along the way here as we get forward into the summer recruiting circuit.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, and go Tigers.
We'd like to thank LSU head coach Will Wade for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. And get this, they are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/CHday and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is an outstanding collection of exclusive original short stories and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. You can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including Amazon's Kindle and Echo, without ever losing your place or missing a word. So visit audible.com/CHday to enjoy a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/CHday. Now that you're all set with all your Audible needs, we now will get to the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Our first question right now is going to come from Scott, and it's, what are your thoughts on Wichita State next year in terms of a potential seed in the NCAA tournament bracket? And Scott, for me, I need to see how Wichita State does in the American Conference, and it's not just at the top with teams like Cincinnati, UConn, SMU. It's teams, again, that are quality in the middle, like a Central Florida, like a Houston. I'm curious to see how the wear and tear deals with the Shockers next season. And our next question comes from Rodrigo Lazzarini, and it's, John, is the SEC next year stronger than the ACC? I see a lot of teams fighting for the second spot in the conference. I think it's a very interesting take. I think the SEC has a chance to be deeper than it's been in years, but I still think the ACC, just by rolling out the balls and studying the personnel, has a 7 or 8 team, you know, NCAA tournament representation type league. I think it's a 7 or 8 bid league, especially when you really look at the rosters in this league. Not nearly as deep as last season, but still very formidable. Now that we've got to your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
5 good nuggets.
5. 5.
6.
No, 5. But you were close.
Nugget number one, a Cam Johnson update. The graduate transfer from Pittsburgh recently visited North Carolina. He informed me recently, as a couple of days ago, that there is no update on his situation. He's considering Carolina, Ohio State, Oregon, UCLA, Kentucky, and TCU. Again, he's obviously hopeful that the ACC grants him a waiver to transfer to Carolina without sitting a season. Remember, he is a graduate transfer. Nugget number two, the Jamie Dixon factor. A lot of people are talking about Kansas, Texas, and West Virginia and 12, but TCU returns its top 6 scorers from a 24-win team that won the postseason NIT. This is quietly the Big 12's third-best team behind Kansas and West Virginia. Nugget number three, addition by subtraction from Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State, even though you never want to lose talented players, might be better next season by losing Mario Kegler as a transfer. I know he was a top 40 kid out of high school. I know he was a 4-star recruit, but it's very difficult to coach if you're trying to get people minutes and not put lineups out there that are best for your team to win. I think Xavien Stapleton will now be Mississippi State's four-man. Curious to see how year three goes under Ben Howland in Starkville. Ben Howland in his year threes at Northern Arizona, Pitt, and UCLA has a combined record of 82-20. Nugget number four, another transfer, VCU's big loss, Samir Dowdy, the redshirt freshman from Philadelphia, leaving VCU. He will be an available transfer, and I'm starting to look at VCU's roster right now, and I'm starting to see a major rebuilding process ahead of Mike Rhodes. I don't see the Rams as a lock NCAA tournament team in 2018. And nugget number five, just as you're preparing for your summer, I want to again remind you that our conference previews will start right after the NBA draft. We're going to break down every major league in America from soup to nuts. And again, we want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. I'd like to thank LSU head coach Will Wade for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.